So, here we are, the beginning of the end. Or is it the end of the beginning? No, it really is the beginning of the end. Because right now, it's just me, hiding in an airtight cupboard full of cleaning products and dead wood lice. And any second now, the door seal's going to perish and that's it. Finito. Oh well, I suppose it was nice while it lasted. I hope you've all enjoyed yourselves. So, why don't you get comfy and we'll see how this absolute clusterfuck comes to a conclusion. Where's the theme tune? We're meant to have a theme tune.
Is it not playing?
No, Scott is not playing. I can't hear anything.
Right, how about now?
Nope.
How about now?
And remember, it is always Master Darius and Madam Ilsa. You never refer to them by their first names alone.
How are they bearing up?
I'm sorry.
Well, their dad just died. How are they handling it?
Oh, you really don't know this family at all, do you?
Where the devil is that blasted lawyer?
He shan't be long, sis. Those warp ships can be there and back in a jiffy.
And what sort of bounty hunter gets himself stranded on Maglomi?
Well, he has the Gauntlets. That's the important thing. Ah, Jillix. There you are. We were just talking about you.
Madam Ilsa, Master Darius, may I introduce you to Captain John Hart?
Ooh, a captain, eh?
Pleasure to meet you.
Come join us on the divan.
Oh, Jillix, be a gem and fix us three more Callisto slings, will you?
Can't one of the servants do it, Master Darius?
They're busy making Father presentable.
Didn't want him looking too, you know, dead for our guest.
Very well.
Jillix tells us you're a bounty hunter.
I guess that's one name for it.
Fascinating. Is that a dangerous line of work?
It can be.
Oh, he's so evasive.
Tediously so.
I was sorry to hear about your loss.
Were you? Why?
Well, your father. He's dead.
Yes, well, can't be helped. Besides, if he'd cared about us that much, he'd have written a will, wouldn't he?
Your cocktails, sir.
Oh, Jillix, you are a bunny.
Yes, I meant to ask. What happened there? Why wasn't there a will?
Father thought he was invincible, evidently. Couldn't imagine himself dying, even though he was having deep-fried pizza beamed up from Basilium twice daily. His blood must have been 40% hydrogenated fat. It's a miracle he lived this long.
Of course, if the board of directors knew he was dead, they'd have carved up the family business within hours. We'd have been left with nothing.
Which is why we hired you.
I take it you do have the Gauntlets?
We have them, and they're in working order.
Excellent. Well, in that case, what are we waiting for? Jillix, how long is this going to take?
Well, I couldn't say, madam. I have no experience with resurrection.
Oh, Captain, any idea?
I've only seen what happens when they malfunction. Afraid.
That sounds rather grisly. Care to elaborate?
One of the Gauntlets ended up on Earth in the distant past. It caused, well, zombies.
Sounds a hoot.
Well, whatever happens, I hope it doesn't take too long. There's a gala event in Meta City 4 this evening, and if I'm not there, chins will wag.
Bloody hell. They've given him blusher.
That'll be Juanita. She kept complaining that he was looking a bit peaky.
I'll be having words before I leave.
If we could perhaps get on with the procedure. The Gauntlets, Captain?
Of course. Here you go.
Oh. Right. So I suppose my thumb goes here and...
Would you like me to try?
No, sir. I think I can manage it.
Oh, do hurry up, Jillix. This place depresses me. And bless him, but Father is beginning to pong.
Is that what that is? I thought perhaps Jillix had let one off.
Madam, sir, some decorum, please. Right. So, Captain, how does one do this?
I think you just put your hands on his head.
Over the ears?
I don't think it matters.
Captain, I'm about to revive the corpse of one of the most powerful men in 7 galaxies. I think it matters rather a lot, don't you?
Okay, here. Put them around his head like this, as if you were holding a balloon.
Very well. I think they're working.
Here we go, sis, here we go. What happened? What was that?
It was ghastly.
He opened his eyes.
Did I do something wrong?
Well, you took your hands off his head. That probably didn't help.
How long was I meant to keep them there?
Until he managed to say something. I don't know, do I?
All right. Let's try that again.
Okay, that's it. You've got him. Just keep your hands where they are.
Father?
Where am I?
We're in the palace, Dad, in the chapel.
Chapel.
That's right. You were just having a little rest.
I can't.
Fetch him some water.
I wouldn't, not while there's an electrical current running through his brain.
Oh, I think it's part of his lung.
All right. I think it would be best if Captain Hart and I do this in private. Master Darius, Madam Ilsa?
Come on, sis. Let's wait outside, shall we?
We should be in there.
Really? You've only just recovered from being an unsettling shade of green.
Oh, but they could be doing anything behind our backs.
Jillix is a little old for anything, don't you think?
Oh, don't be vulgar, Darius. You know what I mean. They could be making Father say things.
Jillix is loyal. He wouldn't do that.
Oh, you can be so naive.
Look, you remember as well as I do. Father promised to split everything between us 50-50.
He promised, but he never put it in writing, did he?
He was a busy man.
He just didn't care, Darius. That's the truth of it. He didn't care about you, he didn't care about me. He only said he'd split the share of the company to get us off his back.
But now, if we can revive him long enough, he can say it on camera. Maybe even sign something. Though just a spoken statement would be enough.
Will it? Looking like that. The board of directors will take one look at the footage and they'll know something's amiss. What is going on in there?
My collection of diamond-encrusted penguins. I leave to my good friend, Zorvac Matrixi.
Diamond-encrusted penguins?
He was rather fond of ornaments.
And finally, to the matter of my majority share in Vargosh Industries.
Finally.
I divide this stake equally.
Yes?
Between.
Go on.
My two.
Bollocks.
Oh, damn!
Did you let go?
Of course not.
You must have done something wrong. We were almost there.
Well, I'd like to see you try.
Fine. But make sure you edit that tape or else, well, it won't look very convincing.
Here. It's not as easy as it looks, you know.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that. It's alive!
Hello? Sir?
Jillix. What's happening to me?
We're almost there, sir. We're almost finished.
There is something in the shadows, Jillix.
Yes, sir, but it'll all be over soon.
There is something coming for me in the dark.
And we won't let it harm a hair on your little old head, will we, Captain Hart?
No, of course not. We've got your back.
We just need you to state who will get your share of Vargosh Industries, remember?
I think so.
Just look into the lens.
Huh?
The lens. The lens, sir? There. That's it. Just look into the lens and say the words, my majority share.
My majority share in Vargosh Industries. I divide equally between my daughter, Ilse Vargosh, and my son, Darius Vargosh.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Oh, thank God for that.
Jilix.
Yes, sir?
Dark. Dark. Dark.
What is it, sir? What's wrong?
Dark is the valley, and fierce are the flames. The journey is unending, and the night without mercy.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't quite catch that.
Dark is the valley, and fierce are the flames. The journey is unending, and the night without mercy.
Oh, my God.
Dark is the valley, and...
What was that?
I've heard those words before, when the gloves malfunctioned.
You think they're malfunctioning again?
Maybe. We need to lock them away.
We have what we need. Why not simply destroy them?
Because they're more or less indestructible. And because I blasted the only person who might be able to safely deactivate them out of an airlock.
The Vargosh family vault. They'll be safe here.
But what if someone finds them?
No one will, Captain. Well, look around you. Trinkets are mementos, and the current generation are hardly sentimental. I don't believe Ilse nor Darius has ever set foot in here.
Well, I guess it'll do.
There. Within months, they'll be beneath an inch of dust. And now, if you'll excuse me, I have to address the board of directors.
Thank you for assembling at such short notice. I called this meeting because I have some very sad news. At a little after 10 o'clock this morning, local time, our supreme chairman, Uther Vargosh, breathed his last. In accordance with his wishes, his majority stake in Vargosh Industries will be divided equally between his son and daughter, Darius and Ilse Vargosh. A funeral service shall be held aboard Vargosh Palace tomorrow at 1800 local time. Virtual attendance is permitted. Those wishing to attend in person should materialize no later than 1730. That is all.
Not much of a turnout.
The former chairman was a man of many acquaintances, but few friends.
Yeah, but you'd have thought Darius might have shown up.
Again, if you knew this family well, his absence would hardly be a surprise. I imagine he's in one of the less salubrious establishments on Basilium.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Yes, I imagine he would be.
Who's the stiff next to Ilse?
The stiff? That is her husband, Chester Vermouth.
Like the drink?
Spelled differently. He's one of the Draxian Vermouths.
Of course he is.
Ladies, gentlemen, all folk, metafolk, and zygotic omniforms, we are gathered here today to pay our respects to Uther Vargosh.
Chester, this is Captain Hart.
How do you do?
Captain, this is my husband, Chester.
Mr. Vermouth.
Vermouth. Sorry.
The captain helped us out with the matter of father's legacy.
Ah, yes. Jilix told me all about you. It seems we owe you a debt of gratitude.
I prefer cold, hard cash.
Yes, about that. Darius is away right now, but as soon as he returns, you will have your money.
Glad to hear it.
In the meantime, I trust you're comfortable here aboard the palace.
I've never slept on an ivory four-poster before.
We had a herd of elephants engineered especially.
Nice.
Darling, I appear to be a little dry, and the captain doesn't have a drink at all. Could you...
Of course. What'll it be, Captain?
Anything flammable.
I'll be right back.
So, tell me, Captain, what does a bounty hunter do when he's not hunting bounty?
Oh, you know, a bit of this, that and the other, especially the other. And you? What does an insanely wealthy heiress do when she's not insanely wealthying?
Well, that is the question. All that money, but how to occupy one's time? Chester is away an awful lot on business, and our marriage was never particularly carnal. One has to indulge oneself from time to time.
Is that so?
Turn over.
What?
Turn over. You may want to bite down on something.
Okay. I say, Jillix, you don't happen to have seen my wife anywhere?
Can't say I have, Mr. Vermouth.
When the wake was over and all the guests had gone home, it was just me and Ilse Vargosh in an entire space palace with an army of servants at our disposal.
Maisie, dear, I think Captain Hart would like some more bacon.
Yes, madam.
And bring us a bottle of champagne. I'm in the mood for mimosas. Mimosas, Captain?
You've twisted my arm.
Not the first time. You loved it, really.
Now, I know what you're thinking. This is bound to end in tears. And you're absolutely right. But for the time being, life was sweet. Chester was back on Basilium, handling business matters. I was still on Vargosh Palace, handling his wife. She hadn't paid me. I was still waiting on Darius. But I was hardly likely to complain, now was I?
Your mimosas, madam.
Thank you, Maisie. Now, everyone... Everyone, yes. If you could all give the captain and me a moment alone, that would be wonderful. So that'll be all, Maisie. Thank you.
That's told.
Yes, that's it. Off you go. That's better.
Something you wanted to discuss?
How did you guess? I was wondering whether you might be interested in carrying out a little more work for us. Well, for me.
What kind of work? Because if it's maintenance stuff, I'm kind of useless with a spanner.
Oh, no. Perish the thought. I couldn't bring myself to callous those wonderful hands of yours. No, I was thinking more in terms of human resources.
Human resources?
Restructuring personnel.
Still not following you.
Getting rid of Chester.
Why?
He really is a drag, but he's worth an awful lot of money. When his father dies, he stands to inherit a quarter of the Vermouth fortune. But if Chester were to die first, that fortune will pass on to me. Don't look at me like that. You don't strike me as the sort who gets squeamish about this sort of thing.
And I'm not. It's just Chester. He's harmless enough, isn't he?
Harmless? Yes, he's harmless. And right now he's standing between me and a considerable fortune. On top of the fortune I already have, I mean.
But how?
I thought you'd know all about that sort of thing.
I could stab him.
Oh, good grief, no. Too many questions and the blood. No. I won't have Chester stabbed.
Blow him out of an airlock?
And then what? If there's no body, his family may not pay up.
Poison.
Impractical. And it would leave a trace. Though, actually...
What?
Nuts.
Excuse me?
He's allergic to nuts.
Right, so I'm going to force-feed him nuts. How, exactly?
Oh, you won't need to force him. Next time he's here, You'll make dinner for us. We'll give Cook the night off. It'll be like a dinner party, but just the three of us. You'll put nuts in his food, but be subtle. If he tastes them, it'll be curtains. Yes, it's perfect.
Except for one thing.
Which is?
Me. Cooking.
God! Ow! 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 Ow!
I said, Miles, unless we branch out into the Thanatos system, we'll miss out on all that war profit. But, you know, Miles, he just wouldn't listen. Said it was unethical.
Yes, darling.
Sorry about that. Slight mishap.
All okay now.
Mind the plate. It's hot.
Oh.
And for Monsieur. One moment.
Bloody fool. What's wrong with our usual cook?
He's taken the night off. The captain wished to cook for us. He is something of a cordon bleu.
Is he now?
Bon appétit.
What is this?
Duck.
Darling, could you pass the salt?
Are you sure it's cooked properly?
To perfection.
I'll get it myself, shall I? Some wine, Captain.
Good idea.
Oh, it's a bit tough.
Oh, Chester, there's just no pleasing you. One moment you're suggesting it's undercooked, the next you say it's too tough.
And it is. Like old boot leather.
Well, I think it's delicious.
Where'd you find duck?
Sorry?
I said, where did you find duck?
I had one beamed up from Basilium.
Thought as much. The gravity down there makes them too muscular, like little weightlifters. That's why it's so tough. Nothing to do with how long it's cooked.
Darling? Darling, are you all right? Would you like some water?
What's in the sauce?
Let me see. There's port, chicken stock, some red currant jelly, a little bit of orange zest, and... Oh, and peanut oil.
What?
Peanut oil. That's why I went with the port. The sauce had to be strong enough to mask the nuttiness of the... Well, nuts.
The captain wanted to stab you, or blast you out of an airlock. You should be grateful, really.
You bitch! You killed me!
Technically, we're killing you, present tense.
That went rather smoothly, I thought. But I won't finish the duck, if it's all the same. It was a little tough.
Sorry. Is he?
Just his body going through the motions, I imagine. All that hot air escaping. Now, I don't know about you, but I found all this rather arousing.
Really?
Take me, Captain.
What? Here?
On the table, next to my husband's corpse.
Wow, that's kind of dark.
Right here, right now. I won't ask you again.
Like I was ever going to say no.
Darius, I'm so glad you could come.
Well, you know, family and all. Captain.
Master Darius.
Please, call me Darius. But seriously, sis, I'm so sorry for your loss. I can't make sense of it. Didn't Cook know about his allergies?
Of course, but he wasn't working that night.
Well, then who prepared the meal?
It was me.
Oh, then you must be very upset, Captain. I mean, a thing like that weighing down on you...
It's been very difficult.
I can imagine.
Ah, there you are, Master Darius. I'm very pleased you came back for your brother-in-law's funeral.
Wouldn't miss it for the world. Where is he, by the way?
Mr. Vermouth. He's in the chapel.
Of course. I may go and pay my respects before we say our final goodbyes. Oh, and Captain?
Yes?
You'll be pleased to know I've brought your fee. 5 million in Zorbian florins.
Perfect.
Let's go to my room and we can count it out.
Sure.
499,500. All there.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
Before I hand this over, a question.
Yes?
You and Ilsa.
What about us?
Have you... you know?
Why do you ask?
Just curious.
And if we have?
It wouldn't make any difference to me. I found Chester rather sexless for such a wealthy man. He'd have made a better monk. I'm just trying to work out whether you prefer... cats... or dogs.
What if I like both?
If that's the case, this dog would like a bone. Well, Captain, I can see why my sister enjoys having you around. But there was something I wanted to ask you.
Yes?
The gauntlets.
What about them?
Where are they?
Oh, well, Gillix and I had to put them into storage. There was a problem with them. We thought it was better to keep them out of harm's way.
But where?
Oh, it's not really important.
I may have a buyer.
A what?
A buyer. An interested customer. Similar situation to our own. A contested will and whatnot. Time sensitive, so if they do wish to buy the gauntlets, it'll have to be soon, before their dearly departed begins to ferment.
Right, but that's what I was trying to say. I'm not sure they're entirely safe.
Zombies again.
No, but something your father said.
Well, I saw the video and it was all very straightforward. He left nothing but money and expensive gift shop souvenirs.
There was something else. Something we cut out of the video. Words I've heard before, on Earth, I think.
Well, spit it out.
I think the gloves have opened something up.
What sort of something?
A portal, or a doorway, or... I don't know. Some sort of tear between this world and...
What?
Hell.
You're right. That does sound ridiculous. Where are the gauntlets?
I can't tell you.
Tell me, or I'll tell my sister what we just did.
You wouldn't.
Ha! I knew it. You're planning on sticking around, aren't you? You found yourself a nice little gold mine, and once Ilsa's done a suitable amount of mourning, you'll pop the question.
That's not true.
Listen, Captain. I am a conniving, money-grabbing bitch, and I know one when I see one. I'm not judging you. I'd do precisely the same if I was in your shoes, but my sister has a jealous streak a mile wide, so if you want me to keep this secret, you'll tell me where you put the gauntlets.
The vault.
We have a vault.
It's near your father's rooms. There's a secret passage from the library.
Ooh, how gothic.
I can show you.
Good boy.
But I'm telling you, there's something wrong with those gloves. Get rid of them. Get them as far away from me as possible.
Hand on my heart, Captain. Hand on my heart.
Ah, oh, Captain. Where have you been all this time?
Just counting out the money.
I didn't trust my brother, eh?
Well...
I wouldn't. You're lucky he didn't try fobbing you off with a briefcase full of shredded newspaper. Talking of Darius, is he here?
No, I think he had to go and do something.
Something or someone?
Well, I...
Honestly, that boy is insatiable.
Hello, Chester. You're looking remarkably well, all things considered. These are the gauntlets we use to revive Pa. I'm hoping they'll do the same for you. Just long enough for you to tell me what really happened while I was away. There we go. Lights, camera, and action. Hi, Chester.
What's happening?
I just needed to ask you a quick question.
Ilsa. Where is Ilsa?
She's with the captain.
The captain?
That's right. You remember him, don't you?
Killed me.
Oh, did he now?
Peanut oil in the sauce.
Oh, this is good, Chester. This is perfect. Just so we're clear, can you say that into the camera? Just over there. Tell the camera who killed you.
The captain killed me.
Perfect. Thank you, Chester. I reckon this should be enough to squeeze Ilsa into giving me some of her share. You've been most helpful. And... you know, sorry to hear about your murder and all that.
Dark.
What the... How are you doing that? I stopped using the gloves. See, you shouldn't be doing that.
Dark is the valley. and fierce are the flames. The journey is unending and the night without mercy.
I don't understand.
Dark is the valley and fierce are the flames. The journey is unending and the night without mercy.
Stop it!
Dark
Stop talking!
Dark is the valley and fierce are the flames. The journey is unending and the night without mercy.
I said stop it!
Dark is the valley and fierce are the flames. The journey is unending and the night without mercy. It is coming. Dark is the valley and fierce are the flames. The journey is unending and the night without mercy.
What are you? Get away from me! Get away from me!
What happened to him?
I'm not a doctor, Madam Ilse, but it looks as if something scared your brother to death.
But that's impossible, isn't it?
I would have thought you might have had more experience with this sort of thing.
What are you suggesting?
You were the last person to see Master Darius alive.
So?
And he has the gauntlets?
Yes, why does he have them?
The location of his body, so close to the chapel, and your late husband's remains suggests he may have used them.
On Chester? But why?
Why indeed? Perhaps he thought Chester might know something. Something incriminating.
Oh, don't look at me.
Madam, within days of the captain's arrival, both your husband and your brother have died, and in most unusual circumstances.
You don't think?
I'm not blind. I am fully aware that you and the captain have been intimate, that the captain has preyed upon your vulnerability in this difficult time, and that he has done so in order to position himself close to your fortune.
Lies!
Now that both Chester and Darius are dead, you stand to inherit a considerable fortune. Your wealth will far outweigh even your father's. And should the captain wheedle his way into your affections...
I don't have to listen to this.
Where do you think you're going, Captain?
A teleporter bay, Basilium, and then somewhere with a hot tub, a cocktail menu as long as my arm, and lots of beautiful naked people.
I don't think so.
Yeah, try stop me.
Just a few hundred volts, Captain. But I'm afraid we can't let you leave. There is simply too much at stake.
He's awake.
Better?
Why did you take my mouth shut?
What do you mean?
Well, this is hardly a public place. You taped my mouth up like you were kidnapping me in the middle of Bunky World or something.
No, I actually... Why did we tape his mouth up?
Because I wanted it to hurt when we tore it off.
Good God, she's sexy.
We've seen the video.
What?
The video Master Darius made? When he revived Chester?
Oh, so that's what he was doing with the gauntlets.
Yes. I'd rather imagine you wouldn't have told him where they were if you knew what he wanted them for.
He said he was going to sell them.
And how exactly did he get that information out of you? Even I didn't know where they were.
Well...
Oh, I see. Of course. The rancid little twink.
Hey, if it's any consolation, he was nowhere near as good as you were in the sack.
As I thought. The captain is an adventurer.
Well, I do aim for swashbuckling.
Not that sort of adventurer. I mean you are a confidence trickster, sir. A gold digger of the worst kind. You murdered Chester and Darius for your own gain.
Hey, listen. We can talk about Chester, but I had nothing to do with whatever happened to Darius.
You had the motive. Perhaps you knew what he had on tape.
What are you talking about?
He's talking about this.
The captain killed me.
Ilse, tell him.
Tell him what?
About what we did, you and I.
Why would Jillix want to know about that? We're consenting adults, and it's been perfectly legal for almost a century.
No, not that! The murder! Chester's murder!
What can I say? You're the one who murdered him.
But it was your idea!
That's a lie. I loved Chester.
Pull the other one.
It's all right, madam. I don't believe a word that comes out of this scoundrel's mouth. I believe he'll require a little coercion to say anything truthful.
Coercion? What's he talking about?
Physical discomfort, Captain.
What are you doing?
We know what these things can do to a dead body, but what about the living? all that talk about them being dangerous. Perhaps you were simply aware of what they were capable of. Perhaps you didn't want us to use them on you.
Please. No! You don't know what you're doing.
If those gloves can bring the dead back to life, perhaps they can show the living a brief glimpse of death.
Get away from me!
Confess to Darius's murder. Admit that it was part of your scheme to steal the Vargosh fortune.
But it wasn't!
Do it, Jilix.
Please! I'm an unscrupulous bastard. If that was always my plan, I'd say so. But it wasn't!
Do it!
Anything you say, madam.
Again!
Where am I? What is this place?
Confess, Captain.
What happened? What did it do to him?
Please, no more.
I can stop this right now, Captain. All you need to do is confess.
I can't.
Do it again, Jilix.
Please, Captain. You know it makes sense.
I can't.
Do it.
What are you?
What are you?
Darius, are you here?
You killed me. Killed us all.
It's not true.
Look around you. All the people you have killed. Hundreds of souls. The shades of your victims.
Let me out of here!
This is all that awaits you.
There is nothing on the other side but this.
This and the one who watches.
It's coming for you.
It is coming for you all.
It's coming.
Confess, Captain. Tell us how you killed Darius and Chester.
Dark.
As soon as you confess, this will all be over.
Dark is the valley, and fierce are the flames. The journey is unending, and the night.
What's he saying?
With the same mercy. Words.
What is it, Jilix?
They're the same words. The your father says.
Father flames. The journey is unending, and the night without mercy.
Tape his mouth up. I don't want to hear this.
Dark is the valley, and fierce are the flames. The journey is unending, and the night
please,
without
Jilix,
mercy.
Please, Jilix, take him away. He's lost his mind.
Oh, there. Understand, Captain. I'm only moving you here for Madame Ilse's sake. She may believe this whole jabbering madman act, but I don't. If it was up to me, I'd leave you here and throw away the key, and no one would come looking for you.
Dark is the valley and fierce are the flames!
Shh. Save it, Captain. I'll leave you here in the vault and maybe you can rethink your confession. If any of this hysteria is genuine, I'd hate to have to use those gauntlets again.
Dark is the valley and fierce are the flames. The journey is unending and the night without mercy.
How frightful.
Yes, madam. I'm sorry you had to see that.
Why won't he confess?
Who knows? Though, in my experience as a lawyer, some miscreants can be very stubborn when accused of a crime they didn't commit.
I'm sorry?
Or catch them red-handed and they'll practically brag about what they've done. But accuse them of somebody else's crime and they'll dig their heels in. They'll fight their corner.
You're not suggesting he's innocent?
Oh, no. I'm fairly certain he had a hand in Chester's death. Well, we know he did. Nut oil in the duck sauce. Inspired. The question is whether or not he had an accomplice.
What do you mean?
Well, who told him about Chester's allergies?
Don't look at me that way, Jilix. You are still an employee of this family, and as head of this family,
Madam, let's not argue. I'm merely speculating. And of course your brother's death remains mysterious. Though there too, you had the motive and the captain had the opportunity.
That was nothing to do with us.
And I haven't said it was. But if your concern is that I might take these questions to the board of directors or the authorities on Basilium, well, worry no more, madam.
Really?
Of course. This business can all be dealt with quickly and with a minimum of scandal if we get a confession out of the captain. Implicate him in the deaths of both Chester and Darius, and we can live happily ever after.
We?
But of course. I was your father's most trusted advisor. I understand his company better than anyone else alive. You are his one surviving heir. It's perfect.
This is absurd.
Oh, sir, please. Oh.
What's happening? I can't see anything.
Someone's cut the power.
What do you mean, cut the power? How could they cut the power? Jillix, do something.
It's all right, madam. The auxiliary lights will come on any second.
Oh, well, that's hardly any better.
But it's enough for us to find our way.
Oh, it's freezing. Why is it so cold?
All systems down. Light, heating. We may need to evacuate the palace. We'll go to my warp ship.
What about the captain?
Oh, leaving him behind would kill two birds with one stone, would it not?
Perhaps.
Come. This way. Oh, where the devil are all the staff?
I haven't seen any of them in a while. What is that?
I don't know. Well, it could be the intercom, white noise.
Well, it isn't coming from the intercom.
Then I don't know what it is.
Oh, make them stop, Jillix.
Well, I can't. Come on. We have to get out of here.
Ship. Why don't we just beam ourselves down to Basilium?
Because the teleporters run on the main power grid, and we don't have any power!
Yes.
This is our only way out.
Code not recognized.
What?
Code not recognized.
What do you mean, code not recognized? This is my bloody ship. I think I should know the entry code, don't you?
Code not recognized. Panel is locked.
Oh, well, that is just bloody marvellous.
Oh, what is it? What's wrong?
We can't get in. Someone must have changed the entry code.
But who?
The captain.
Evening.
How did... But you were...
You think this was my first time being gaffer-taped to a chair?
Are you well, Captain?
As I can be, considering I've been to hell and back.
Hell?
I warned you. I told you there was something wrong with those gloves.
What happened?
We've opened a door. A door to something very nasty indeed.
He's bluffing.
You think so? You've heard them, haven't you? The voices?
Yes.
And I guess you tried to make a getaway?
Yes.
And that's when you worked out that I changed the entry code for the warp ship.
So it was you.
Oh, yeah. Did that almost as soon as we got here. Plan was to steal it if things got hairy. Now I guess it was more like an insurance policy.
Tell us the code, Captain.
I'll tell you that when we get to the ship.
Give us the code and we'll take you to the ship.
That isn't how it works. Sounds like this place is falling apart.
He's right, Jillix. Let's go.
Very well. But not without these.
The gauntlets? Are you out of your mind?
We paid good money for them. And if you think we're leaving them behind...
But if they're the cause of all this...
Then we sell them on and have nothing more to do with them. But I am not coming out of this farrago without a penny. So they're coming with us.
What are those voices?
The dead.
But there are so many of them.
It's not just Chester, or Darius, or your father. It's all of them. Everyone who ever died. It's as if there's another universe full of them. Billions and billions of ghosts.
Bam!
Jillix.
Who's that? You're looking well.
Join us, Jillix.
I'd rather not. You know, just now. A bit busy, I'm afraid.
Join us in the valley and the darkness and the flames.
No. Please! I don't want to die!
The night is without mercy.
Come on.
No!
A
Tessa, come on! We have to go!
Not without these!
Oh, not you as well! Those things are trouble! I wish I'd never found them!
But you did! And if my inheritance is about to go up in smoke, I want to get something out of this! What are you doing? We have to get out of here!
Just trying to close the doors.
Why?
To hold them back.
But they're ghosts. What good will shutting the door do?
No. The entry code is 696969.
Seriously?
I know. I'm sorry. What? No! Elsa! Elsa, open up!
Sorry, John.
What are you doing?
It's neater this way. Don't you see? I go back to Obsidian and tell them there was a disaster. I was lucky to escape, but I'm the only survivor. They'll feel sorry for me, John. They might even give me my own chat show.
Please, just open the hatch. I won't tell anyone what happened here. You have to believe me.
Goodbye, John. You'd better stand back now.
No!
Where did she go?
That can't be right. I should be on Basilium by now. Where am I? Who's there? John? Is that you? Jilix? The gauntlets.
Hatch opening in 10 seconds.
What? But I didn't open the hatch.
Warning. Readings suggest the environment may be unsafe.
No!
Hatch opening in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hatch opening.
Well, at least this disintegrating space mansion is no longer a portal to hell. So that's something. Looks like this is it. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. How did sexy, dashing Captain John end up in a situation like this?
Wait, we've done that bit.
Oh, suppose I better crawl into an airtight cupboard and hope for the best. And wood lice. What a ridiculous way to die. Oh. Oh. God. Oh. Wait a second. Do we have power?
Hi, John.
Jack? Is that you?
Can't hear you, buddy. Are you still in the closet?
Yeah, very funny. What the hell are you doing here?
Looks like you need rescuing. Again.
I do not need rescuing. I simply need a lift somewhere that isn't falling apart in space. There's a difference.
Sure, John.
Anyway, how the hell did you get here? And where are you?
Oh, I'm on board a C-class star cruiser about 500 meters off that little chunk of Vargosh Palace you're standing in.
Okay, so, I don't know. Beam me aboard or something.
Wait. Surprise! I've got someone who wants to speak with you.
I don't like the sound of that.
Here she is.
Elsa?
Hello, John.
Baroness.
Oh, you didn't think I'd let you go that easily, did you?
Listen, about the money.
You know I don't like debtors.
I know, but the thing is...
And you know what happens to those who don't pay their bills.
Yes, but if you just...
So what's it going to be, John? Should I leave you to suffocate on a space wreck? Or would you like me to take you home? Where you can pay back your debt the slow way, slice by slice, skewer by skewer. I hope you're feeling hungry. because I've an instinct you're a man who can't get enough of himself.
Oh.
Well, John, I'm waiting.
You have been listening to The Sins of Captain John, Darker Purposes, by David Llewellyn. Captain John Hart was played by James Marsters. Jilix, Nicholas Kahn. Ilsa Vargosh, Rosie Baker. Darius Vargosh, Rick Yale. Uther Vargosh, David Sibley. Chester, Matthew Jacobs Morgan. Celebrant, Christopher Allen. Maisie, Catherine Drysdale. Baroness Ha-Ha, Laura Doddington, and Captain Jack Harkness, John Barrowman. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The script editor and producer was James Goss, director Scott Hancock, and executive producers Nicholas Briggs and Jason Hey Gallery.
Hello, I'm James Goss, and I produced Sins of Captain John, and I am here with...
Scott Hancock, who directed The Sins of Captain John.
And we're just going to talk about directing this, because it's a little bit different from a normal Big Finish production.
It's a little bit different from the usual Torchwoods, actually, because I think in most Torchwoods we've sort of done everything... in terms of the kinds of action and genre and tone. But yeah, this feels something other again, actually. I think I said elsewhere, reading the script, because it breaks the fourth wall and it's a little bit, is very self-aware. It felt to me like a sort of Deadpool kind of thing, you know, that talking to the audience and just playing up to the conventions of audio in a way, whilst also being... couched in the Torchwood mythology.
And it's also an out-and-out comedy.
Yes!
Now, this is the first time that we've done an out-and-out comedy, and also it lasts for 4 discs. Is there a knack to directing comedy rather than drama?
Yeah, it is a comedy, isn't it? But it's not trying to... You know, it's not got a studio laughter track or anything like that. It's quietly witty and just sort of romps along with lots of fun characters. It's a romp. I think actually the thing that makes this box set fun and humorous is Captain John, and part of the challenging casting is finding actors who will get what the script is about tonally, but also will in effect play the straight man to Captain John. I mean, all the characters are slightly heightened, but actually he is the one who, you know, if you look at the second episode, is stuck in an escape pod with Dr. Magpie. And, you know, she is not sending up the situation, or she's certainly not enjoying the situation, but he's the one who's finding all these sort of ways to wind her up, and he's the one enjoying it.
And it's also the fact that what's great about him as a character is that he asks all the questions that no science fiction drama ever asks. So it's like when they're stuck in the escape pod, he's like, whoa, how do we go to the loo?
No, and he's, as I say, because he's pointing out all the outrageous qualities of the scripts, he almost gives it license for people to go that little bit further and to enjoy the silliness of it a bit more.
Well, let's talk. We've talked a bit about Captain John, but we should talk about how on this box set it actually features a slightly different aspect of Captain Jack.
Yeah, it's sort of... I mean, Captain John is sort of this intergalactic toddler in a way, just going around having fun and doesn't really care about anyone else or anyone else's emotions. It's all about him. He's very selfish. And, you know, Jack, for all his flaws, is not a selfish character. He very much is out to protect everyone else. He may have been selfish during his Time Agent days, but there's clearly an aspect of his core that wants to do good. If he can benefit from that, all the better. And even though this is set during their Time Agent era, he's clearly the one chasing John, trying to, you know, keep him in check. It's funny, people think of Captain Jack as being hugely outrageous, but actually on screen he isn't particularly. He has his moments, but I think it's easy to confuse Jack with John Barrowman.
And Jack is almost the straight man in this.
Mm. Again, Jack, if he can get something out of a situation and enjoy a situation, will always find the positives in it. But yeah, he is sort of the straight man in this, because he's having to respond in a more mature way to situations that John is responding to in a very immature way.
And finally, this is one big epic. It's four episodes, but it is one connected story.
Yeah, it was interesting reading the scripts, because on my first pass, I mean, obviously they came in as four scripts, so I was sort of reading them as four separate episodes. And obviously it's only as you read them all in one go that you find the links, and then you obviously by the end realize they all connect, and then you go back and read them again and do all your prep and stuff and go, oh, actually there are lots of subtle little threads running through, even characters like Jilix who appear in flashback at various points. And I think actually, you know, you and David have done a great job at, you know, telling four very distinct stories with very distinct sort of environments and casts that pull together to form this roller coaster ride of I don't know, it's just proper high octane audio drum with James Masters at the heart of it, you know, being utterly, utterly outrageous. I think with things like this, not only are the scripts hugely important, but your leading man is. And James was so, you know, considering I don't think in America particularly, he's done a lot of voice work, but he hasn't done a lot of radio drama. You know, it can be quite bewildering to people coming into this environment and having to, you know, compensate for the lack of visuals. But, you know, he really embraced the entire project in the week. And it's great when you've got a leading man who's just going for it for day one. And, of course, we had a lot of casts who, you know, we had some new people, but also some old Big Finish regulars who all just threw themselves into it. And yeah, it was just a very fun week of recording and some, you know, really out there scripts that pushed me in new directions and certainly some of the actors.
Would you like to do more?
I'd love to do more. I think, as I say, James is just an absolute gentleman, by which I mean Mr. Masters, though you are, of course, a gentleman as well.
Well, thank you, Scott. See, I have, that's one of the things about this week that I have most enjoyed.
What, me getting confused about which James I'm talking to?
See, normally when I hear you say James, I know that I'm in trouble and I've done something wrong. And instead, I just got to hear you say things like, James, that was really good.
Hmm. No, it was a nice burst of positivity for you.
I know, it made me feel so loved.
I know. But no, I'd absolutely love to do more when you've got a leading man as good and as much fun and who enjoys the material as much as James did. You know, it's very difficult not to
just want to do lots more.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello. Very professionally, I'm James Goss. I'm the producer of The Sins of Captain John, and I'm joined by
the director, Scott Hancock.
And James Marsters, I play Captain John Hart.
Welcome back to Big Finish, James.
Mm. Oh my God, it's so good to be here. Yeah.
It's nice to have you here, because last time, your first time, was done completely down the line.
Yeah, I was in Los Angeles and you were directing me via Skype, and it was fun, but it was kind of like playing tennis by myself. You know, it's only so good. And these last 4 days, just with full cast, all acting at the same time, it's really got the game going.
When you got the Death of Captain Jack CD, did you listen to it? Was it what you expected from that?
It was a bit naughtier than I'd expected. Oh. Yeah. No, it was fabulous. It's amazing how well things cut together once all of the magical pixie dust has been spread. Like, I never want to watch dailies if I'm working on something. something. Mm. I never want to watch a playback because it's like eating a cake that's half baked. You know, I want all of the extra sound effects and special effects and the editing and all of that done because it's all kind of designed for that anyway. And yeah, finally listening to it was like, oh yeah, that's what I was hoping. It really worked.
So what do you love most about the character?
I try to be a nice person in real life, which...
You are lovely.
It's mostly all about... The trick of it for me is about not really telling you what I'm really thinking. And I mean, I think that that's true of most people who try to be nice, is that we don't inflict our inner monologue on everyone. And the great thing about playing Captain John is he doesn't bother with that. He just tells you what he's thinking. And so I just get to barf out all of my rudeness. And then the writer, David, takes care of the funny, you know, and then the humor comes out so that you don't react to him. Like, if I let my real self out, you'd be like, get him out of the room. But you combine that part of me with really good writing and really funny dialogue, and you get someone that you actually want to spend time with.
Well, I was saying to James, when other James, this is very confusing for the listener. When
just call me by my surname, like it's a hot school.
I was saying to Goss, when I first got these scripts, I was reading them, and to me, they were sort of the Doctor Who universe equivalent of Deadpool, in that he doesn't care about any social conventions, but even the sort of narrative conventions. He's constantly pounding the fourth wall and just, you know, winks to camera pretty much on audio.
Yeah, just flattening convention, both interpersonally and also just as far as storytelling, yeah.
I mean, I was saying to Hancock that they are a really good set of scripts. Did you just sit down and read them all in one go and have a laugh?
No, because you only sent me two. I was laughing, and I was like, wow, this isn't going to be as long as I thought. We'll get this done in a couple of days.
Oh. I'm so professional. But they are a lovely bunch of scripts.
They really, really are. I can tell, you know, when I'm reading a script and it always begins as kind of a chore, like, oh, I got to read the scripts now. But then if the script is really good, very quickly you really don't want it to be over. And you can't wait to see what's going to happen. And they were page turners. Yeah.
And does it feel just you are the only person in history to have John Barrowman playing the straight man to you?
Well, not in real life, but yes, in for fiction, yeah, I suppose so. Jesus.
I mean, was it like that from your first day on set in Cardiff when you walked on and did that? Was there a look from John of, oh, I don't get to win every scene?
I remember the first thing we did together was we kissed. That was the first take that we did. And I think they were a little concerned whether I would be comfortable kissing a man, but I bit him on the first take. and he's like, "What? You bit me?" And I said, "Yeah, I haven't seen you for 300 years. Come in."
So, James, have you done much radio drama like this?
Yes and no. I've done a lot of voice work with books on, you know, audio books, cartoons, video games, and I also work with LA Theater Works in Los Angeles, and we take a full play and we rehearse it for 4 days, and then we do performances for 4 days. I think we do, or no, 2 days? Anyway, we get about 4 performances, and then they cut out all the mistakes, and then put that out on the National Public Radio. And so it's similar, but there's a live audience to interact with. It's more of a live performance. And so, no, I've never really done this specific flavor before.
God, we should do one of these with a live audience.
No, we shouldn't.
Oh, we should.
Can you imagine a laughter track on these episodes? Or booing? But also, these are a lot more physical than I imagine a stage play on radio, because you are, you know, you're being sucked out of spaceships, you're running down corridors, you're fighting zombies. It's been quite nice seeing you sort of just throw stuff in that I think you wouldn't have done on the first day and just sort of getting the sense of it a bit more.
I try as much as possible just to leap off the cliff and see what happens, you know? Don't hold back and just kind of release into the fantasy of it. And yeah, sometimes I'll hear myself do something. I'm like, oh, I didn't plan on that. That's kind of nice, you know.
And how have you found holding the voice for 4 solid days?
Well, that was the problem, you know. I remember I was doing a fan convention out by Heathrow, and I hadn't done this accent in a while. Mm. And I kind of took it out on the road. Like, you know, do you believe this anymore? You know, I talked with some fans, and they're like, no, it's not bad. It's not bad at all.
What I've loved, though, is the cultural clash of words. So you've learned courgette.
Yes, and
aubergine as well.
I love that I give you crap about lieutenant. There's no F.
You did win.
There's no left. Yeah. There's no F in that. No, but yeah. You were like, we invented the language, James. Go on.
Don't tell him that.
No, my God.
What is the most surprising thing? I mean, you're going to have to go home to your family, mm-hmm. and they're going to say, so what did you do for 4 days?
I'm going to give them a slightly edited. Well, for my wife, I'm going to tell her everything. But, you know, you don't want really to listen to your father have sex. So there's a lot that I won't tell my kids.
Mm.
Yeah.
Don't play it in the car.
No. They're adults now, but they don't really want to see Dad do that stuff. Yeah, I don't blame them.
But I have to say as well, unlike last time where you were, you know, having shenanigans across time and space on your own, obviously this time around we've had the other cast around you. We've had brilliantly, you know, energetic casts and, you know, lots of lovely people in each day. How have you found that, just of the British mentality?
It's, you guys are quick with humor. You know, you guys riff off each other at a speed that we don't do in the States.
Hmm.
And we don't think as fast. You know, we just sort of kind of, well, I drove to work and, you know, I guess I listened to some radio. I don't know. And that's about as fast as it goes. And I'm usually the one that's a bit quicker.
Hmm.
But I was just trying to keep up. But what that does is it just gets your mind in fourth gear. And you just kind of... start thinking faster and try to talk a little faster. It's been fabulous. I think I'm slowly turning English a little bit. You're like, nah, you're not there.
Would you say that Captain John has any redeeming features?
Yes, he's got good hair. Wow, that's a good... Does he have any redeeming... I guess that he doesn't care that he doesn't have any redeeming qualities. I think that's what keeps him fun, is that he really is enjoying life, even though he's often doing the wrong thing.
There is something very surprising that a lot of people who've listened to this won't know about you, which is that as well as playing Captain John, you also played another part in this production.
Did I?
You did.
What did I do?
I've absolutely
forgotten. What was he talking about? Wow.
The water sprinkler.
Oh yes. I think that was the pinnacle of my acting prowess right there.
It's award winning.
I've been keeping that in my pocket since the fourth grade. Since I was 9 years old, I learned how to do that. I taught myself how to do it. And it was always good at parties, but I always thought, someday I'll make money off this.
And literally, I think scene 14 of episode 3. Water sprinkler in the background.
It's weird because we spent the last few days going, oh, James is amazing. James is great. But everything went quiet then. And perhaps we should close with the water sprinkler.
Very good. My water sprinkler.
He's got a leak, James. He's got a leak.
I know, but I need some dental work.
Big Finish. We love stories.
We do.
We'll stop now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Tatty bye.